We're a couple weeks or 1 week away from Halloween, I think. And I always know that I look forward to Beth Monteith reminding us that this is a wonderful opportunity to extend love. As if you're home giving out candy, she always tells the story about wanting to go outside and talk to the little kids and talk to their parents, invite them up into her yard and really make that time with strangers coming to your door a beautiful experience for her and for them. And since she's not speaking before Thanksgiving this year, I wanted to give that message as well. I just think it's a beautiful time to do that, especially since, you know, you do hear a lot of, oh, these kids are too old to trick-or-treat. And my daughter was telling me the other day that some cities are passing ordinances that if you're 14 or older, you can't trick-or-treat. And so, you know, I just think if you want a trick-or-treat, we should be able to go out there and do it. And interact with people. So my topic today is living loved. And every song and everything that's been read has just been so perfect. Did you do that on purpose, Lucille? I just love that when that happens. So give me the chance to love you. Now is the time to start. Just beautiful, beautiful lyrics, and exactly what I had in mind when I developed this. Living loved is a place of abundance from within. Living our true selves, unconditional love. And it's full, and it feels full. It feels like we have filled ourselves up. It's a moment-to-moment choice to open and receive a love that only comes from the experience of divine love. So it's not about our emotional attachments to people. It's not about feelings per se. It's about that filling up with the divine one. And it really does have to become a practice of consciously and intentionally becoming aware of where we are with that. And if we're headed toward the empty end, then we need to fill up again. And the miracle from living in this place of just blooming, growing, expanding love from within is a shift in perception. As A Course in Miracles tells us, miracles are a shift in perception. And it's a shift from being empty and dependent on others to look for ways to bless us. So instead of me looking out at you saying, all right, come on now. What can you think of to make me feel good, to make me feel blessed? It's a shift to living in the fullness of your own love within, feeling that within, so that you're free to look for ways to bless others. We always hear about be happy now and a beautiful life will manifest around that. And my thought around this is experience being loved now and everything flows from that. For me, that's first. That comes first. when we're in this space of fullness, we really can stop trying to outrun suffering and accept love wherever we can find it. And we can set that intention to look for love being mirrored back to us. And we'll see it all around us. I saw an analogy that that makes a lot of sense to me. If you're hungry, it is really easy to make a lot of bad and unhealthy choices, right? When you're really feeling those hunger pangs and somebody passes a plate of cake or cookies past, it's really easy to make those choices. But if we fill ourselves up with good, healthy food first, when the plate of unhealthy choices goes by, it's a lot easier to say, no, I'm full. No, thank you. It's a glimpse of an affirmation of wholeness from moment to moment. When we're empty, we have the tendency to start grabbing out here for love and approval. And it's very easy for our hopes to be dashed in that case. We're always at the mercy of someone else's feelings and where they are in the moment. If we're filled before we move into those kinds of situations, then we're good. We can allow people to be who they are and follow their own path, and we're fine. But sometimes we're so focused on the way that we want to see love manifest in our lives. We have a pretty clear idea of what we want that to look like, and so naturally we're looking for it for that. You know, we're waiting for that to come into our lives. And in many instances, then we miss all of the beautiful demonstrations of love coming our way because it just doesn't happen to be in the format that we're expecting. So I was also thinking, living loved sounds really good. I think I could get probably a consensus in this room that, yep, that's a good idea. But are there times when we might find it difficult? Of course. So when we're in the heat of hurt and rejection and anger, depression, sadness, loneliness, all those times when we get triggered, it's hard in that moment to say to ourselves, hey, am I full? Have I filled myself up? Do I need to, you know, turn toward divine love and just be with that and find my way back to love? We can get there. We usually can get there. Sometimes it takes moments, days, weeks, months. But the more that we go back, fill ourselves up, feel the joy and peace and love that that provides to us, the longer we can make that last, the more frequently we can go back and see the importance of doing that on a regular basis. We consciously notice and allow ourselves to be amazed by this love. One of the things that I think can help us on our path to sustained and ongoing fullness is returning to awe. Wayne Dyer talks about this a lot. Returning to looking around us and being awed by what we see around us, returning to a child's mind. I saw this article written by, let's see her name, Courtney Martin. I think it's a blog. And she was writing about her toddler. And the title of it is Standing on the Brink of Everything. And I just love that notion. And we all are, aren't we? In every moment, we're always standing on the brink of everything. Unlimited possibilities, unlimited potential. But do we see it? And she's now that she has this little girl, she's seeing the world through her child's eyes. And a lot of us have had that experience, whether it's our own children or our nieces and nephews, our grandchildren. It's just a joyful experience to watch them and see what they're noticing and see how excited they get. And I just want to read you this paragraph. It is just so cute. So she's talking about her daughters and imagining her daughter's thoughts around these amazing things that are going on around her. She says, keys go in a mailbox and miniature doors open to reveal pieces of paper left by a friendly person in a funny outfit. Fascinating. Dominoes can be sorted into various sizes of beautifully colored baskets in whichever way I want. Sign me up for that. Lotion is a white substance that comes out of a metal tube, and when you rub it on someone's hand, it disappears and they feel soft. Holy moly. I love that. And it's just a reminder about all that we miss. It is pretty fascinating, you know? How many grandparents do we have in the room today? Yeah. Are you seeing that? Are you experiencing that? It's wonderful. I remember, it's been a lot of years ago, but I remember those days. I think the other thing that we need to remember is that we can sustain this stable, dependable stance of love and fullness, of God's love, of whatever it is that you would like to call it, the God of your heart, and still accept the lightness and the darkness. Because if we demand light all around the clock, you know, all the hours of the day and night, then it really becomes artificial light at some point. It's not true light. And in the darkness, we grow into the light. I was reading through this wonderful book that Parker Palmer wrote, On the Brink of Everything, after that young woman's article. And I found one of my first exposures to Rumi, one of my favorite poems of his that expresses this so well, The Guest House. Everyone familiar with that? The Guest House. This being human is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival. A joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. And I think that poem just really sums up that lovely concept in total. We talk a lot here at the fellowship about leaning into our fears. We talk about learning the lessons that they have come to share with us. And that's exactly what Rumi is telling us. The other thing that I ran into was this idea of reaching out. So when you're empty, or you're on the headed toward the empty side, it seems counterintuitive maybe to reach out to others. But I think that we find here in our community at the fellowship that this actually does help fill us up. I have another quote here that I'd like to share. Okay. Feeling like Beth Monteith. Okay. Okay. It says, "The master is not a master of others, but a master of him or herself, and so welcomes others not because he or she wants to lead them, but because together they create an energy field that supports each unique individual in finding his or her own light." And I just think that is absolutely what our spiritual communities are all about. Every day we can consider a journey and we don't really know what's going to come our way. But if we sustain and maintain this practice of filling ourselves up with love, the love of divine oneness, the love that only we can get from that source, our source, then we'll always be ready. We'll always be ready to face whatever comes our way. I saw another idea that I thought was really beautiful around that. The idea of us all being on this pilgrimage to a sacred place. And he likened it to putting rocks in a rock tumbler. You're familiar with that, where people polish rocks. And he says, you put rocks of different shapes, sizes, colors, textures, some rough, some smoother, into a barrel tumbler. Turn it on so that the rocks all bump into each other and rub up against each other. And after the process is complete, you take the rocks out, and each has been transformed into a new, smooth, but different and unique thing of beauty. And I truly see that happening in our spiritual communities, fellowship and unity. All of us as pilgrims, up against joy, suffering, beauty, anger, frustration, depression, peace, chaos, pain, your past, your present, the unknowns of your future, and your inevitable death, we can always go back to our center, to that balanced, grounded place of love, no matter what's going on in our lives or the lives of our friends and family. And so I'd like to invite you all to think about, and I was thinking about this myself, how often do I let myself get completely depleted and then realize that It's my ego trying to fix things. It's my ego trying to escape suffering. And then I remember to bring myself back to that loving power within. But I'd like to not get down the road so far before I remember. And I think that we all can take up the invitation to start our mornings filling ourselves with this powerful, amazing substance, and then bringing ourselves back to it many times during the day. There doesn't have to be a challenge involved. And as we fill ourselves up, the natural result then is that it does spill out and touch all of our friends and family and fellowshipians and our unity friends and strangers and ultimately the whole of humanity. Thank you.